Joined now by Eric Drucker. We're talking about a recent trip that Eric has taken to Palestine, the occupied territories, to the West Bank, to Gaza. Of course, you'll know Eric Drucker's work, an artist who is who has done a lot of amazing work. These graphic novels, I think, are the things that come to mind for most of us. Flood, which I really... I'll stop there. But Eric Drucker joining us here in New York on the Great Lawn during the wind down of stuff here.
I am, yeah.
So Palestine... I'm sorry, do you want to take a second? You can if you need to.
Yeah. Well, we started out in the West Bank. It took us a while to make it down to Gaza Strip. But wherever you go now, you see the wall under construction. You know, this Israelis call it the fence, the security fence.
The security barrier. So on, right, yeah.
It's all kind of semantic after a while, you know. And I tend to be anti-Semitic on the subject.
Have they gotten the
phase
two?
Palestinians call it the apartheid wall. I call it the greatest canvas in the world, you know. I brought 200 pounds of paint with me in a suitcase, and we painted a series of murals on there, which was an experience because they're aiming guns at you, and you have to work really fast, and you're hoping that they don't start, you know, opening fire. After a while, you just start painting, and you say, oh, just ignore them, the guys with the guns. Just ignore them and you know, paint the picture already. So we painted three different murals, two in the West Bank and one down in Gaza.
They didn't interrupt the process, though? Was there some kind of... were you working with a group
there?
Well,
it's really hot in the summertime. It's like as bad as New York in the summertime. And the soldiers were hanging out in their air-conditioned Humvee. And it got the feeling that, hey, they didn't feel like getting out of the air conditioning. Yeah, they didn't want to bother with all this mishigas, hassle with people, you know, start like getting violent and they wanted to keep their powder dry and just chill out, you know. And it allowed us to spend the next 4 hours painting this elaborate mural. We worked with the kids in the neighborhood where we had giving out supplies to everybody. We brought a couple of dozen brushes with us, and the kids went right to town. I was busy sketching in a charcoal outline, planning it out, getting all premeditated. The children were utterly spontaneous and like automatically started painting pictures of birds, trees, animals. You know, these are trees that are a vanishing breed there. All the olive trees are getting uprooted. All of the orange and grapefruit trees were being uprooted. And this is a way of punishing the local population because this is their economy. You know, for hundreds of years, they depend on this for, you know, farming is what the people do for a living. So the other thing they do to punish people is they bulldoze the wells, or they'll poison the wells. You realize that this is really what it's about, is the water underneath the Gaza Strip is where I think a third of the Israeli water supply comes from. So this is something that's being left out of the equation, is the water.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. When you go there, you go to Mali Adamim, for example, near Jerusalem. This is one of the settlements. They have an Olympic-sized swimming pool there, you know, and they're piping water from Palestinian land underground into these places where the settlements are for use by these illegal occupiers of the territory there. I saw that stuff, and it was just really sickening, actually. We're watching genocide, it feels like, sometimes to me. You know, at that level, when you're taking away everything, their fruits in Jayus, the fruits are dropping on the ground, you know, because the wall, the separation fence has made it such that the farmers can't get to the trees. The trees have been there for, you know, centuries, arguably. They're fruiting, but they can't get to them. And so now the rotting fruit is falling on the ground on the other side. And worse, they're being forced to buy Israeli fruit when it comes back in. It's nuts, the place, you know. Is there any place people can see?
Well, it's reminiscent of the U.S., of the history here, you know.
Yes.
People coming, fleeing religious...
Palestinian, right?
They're fleeing religious persecution, you know, the pilgrims, you know, being persecuted in Europe, coming here and discovering this land where there's, like, no people here. So it's a similar mythology of manifest destiny that the Zionists are, you know, using as an excuse to colonize this area. Of course, it's more complex there because you have Jewish people who have been living there all along, you know. And then many of them, including people in my family, who found themselves with no alternative, you know, survivors of the Holocaust. they had no choice but to go to Palestine. They were being channeled there, and then they end up, you know, their children, the next generation, given M16s, you know, Uzis, submachine guns, and you have to go with the army. Men, women, even if you're a woman right out of high school, you have to serve 2 years in the army. Men have to serve 3 years. And what surprised me is what a multicultural society Israel is. You know, it's not just it's about half European Jews, and then the other half is Jews who were like Arab Jews, African,
yeah,
Ethiopian Jews.
Russian,
so you'll see this. You'll see like some Rastafarian woman with dreadlocks and a Bob Marley pin holding an M16 smacking some Palestinian teenager around. In the news here, you only see Ariel Sharon.
Right, yeah.
You'll see the politicians.
Right. who are the so-called militants.
Who are Anglo, the same way, you know, Kerry and Bush are these Anglo guys, but American society is multicultural. So Israel was kind of rainbow in that respect.
Any place people can see images, or did you get some digital images that you're going to put on a website? Or any place
I haven't posted them on my site yet. I'm giving a series of slide lectures around on this Thursday night, the last night of the convention. I'm going to be doing a show down at the Living Room at 9 o'clock with Stephen Smith, the folk singer.
That's great.
Down on Ludlow Street. And then we're going to be doing one. I'm going to be doing a report back at ABC No Rio on September 10th. And then at Blue Stockings on September 17th. That's for New York.
You got some footage, too, while you're over there?
No, it's mostly just photographs of the murals we were working on and shots of the wall under construction and just things like that. Things that you can't really describe in words and only a picture could communicate.
Where can people look at that? Is that ericdrucker.org or .com?
On the website, there's a lot of art on the subject, like us on the wall, but that's all visual art. I haven't put any photographs on the site, but I have a lot of artwork on the subject, the smashing through the wall, women with slingshots. Yeah, that's www.drucker.com.
Drucker.
DROOKER.com.
Thank you, man.
Hundreds of images you could look at, download for free if you're an activist. You could download the high-res version for flyers, posters, things like that.
And if you're a large institution, of course, Eric Drucker's collection of some of his original works, or even in the cases of flood, and some of those are in the collection of Booklyn, www.booklyn.org. Do get in touch with them, too. Hey, Eric, thanks for joining us.
Okay. Hey, good to see you again.
Yeah, and you.
Yeah, I'll probably catch you down to these. I'm around 6, so I'll try Thursday night. It would be great.
Something nice, actually.